So I applied for the loan myself on my own. Denied. Nope, not going to happen.
The reason why the value add deals are so important, especially when you're just starting out, is because I can recoup my money.
If you have found yourself a good deal, do whatever it takes to make it happen. Yeah. Welcome back to the Sky's Limit podcast with your hosts, Mike and Ryan. I am Ryan, and today we're going to be talking about something very important, making that leap from owning one property to two to three and possibly more. Mike, how's it going?
What's up, Ryan? Let's get into today's episode, how to kind of scale your portfolio from going from, you know, you bought that first property, whether you bought it with an FHA loan, low down loan, conventional, maybe you don't even live in it at all. And so getting that first one under your belt, it's very exciting. But then a lot of people kind of struggle to scale, if you want to scale from there. And I think that's one of the hardest things to figure out how to do there. I mean, there's so many different, you know, ways to do it. You could, you know, you got that first property and you need to save up 25% for your next property because you're probably not going to live in it. And so getting a conventional loan is probably the path of least resistance. And that takes a while to save up for. So what are some ways you think the listeners can, you know, take away from and learn how to afford that next property?
Good question, which makes me think that you're really going to laugh at how I bought my second one.
Okay.
You're going to get a kick out of it.
What?
Well, let's dig into it. I'm going to dig into my property, my second property. I took out a $100,000 unsecured loan. 100 grand.
How did anyone give that to you?
So I applied for the loan myself on my own. Denied. Nope, not going to happen. I ended up getting hooked up with these people and they were like, okay, we hear you that you got denied. Like, that's too bad. We can position this loan in your information to these people again and we'll get it approved. Yeah, they're like, well, you know, it really depends how you position the loan to these lenders. Like, you really have to like put the whole package together and like that's what you're paying us to do. So I'm like, look, I gave them my pay stubs. I told them how much I make. They were like, yeah, we'll position it in such a way that you will get approved. And they did that.
No shit.
They literally took my information, put it in like a very clean package, submitted the information to them again. Uh-huh. I'm the same person, same social, same everything.
Still poor.
And they gave me the loan.
That's wild.
It's insane.
So then you got $100,000 in your bank account.
At 10%.
You're paying interest at 10%?
Correct.
Okay. And it's a loan, so you're paying
it
back.
It's a loan, so I'm like right
next
away.
Next month, like you're starting principal
interest. So I need to buy something.
Yep. ASAP. How many, do you remember how long they amortized that loan over? Like how many years?
I believe it was 5 years.
Okay. So it's a decent payment. It's a pretty hefty payment.
It's a good payment.
Yeah.
At 10%. It's a good payment.
So that's like buying a $100,000 car, albeit like you're not getting a 10% rate, hopefully, when you're buying a car. Maybe Joey down the street, but you know, that's that's
$1,600.
Yeah. Okay.
It was $1,600.
Yeah.
It's like I need to like deploy that so that I could get rental income to like offset that expense.
Sure. Okay. So you got the $100,000 loan. You're paying $1,600 a month and now you're still living in that two family. Now what?
I found a property I want to buy.
Okay.
So the college I went to, Central Connecticut State University, which is in New Britain, which is in the same town that we both had those duplexes in. I found a property off market and they were willing to do it owner finance. Owner finance was literally like a foreign language. I was like, owner what? Like, what was this? Made no sense to me. And looking back at the numbers, I have no idea why I did this deal, but it ended up working out. So two family in New Britain, I bought it for $255,000. That was unheard of.
Yeah, that's high.
5 years ago.
I mean, that's kind of what they're going for now. A little bit more now, but like that's
high. So it was a very big property. Very big. Very big property. And it was like right next to CCSU,
right,
which was helps its value. But still, I was way top end. Way top end. Like, yeah, it makes me kind of cringe. But seller finance, they want it 25% down.
So what a normal bank would charge you anyways.
Yeah.
charge you what the down payment would have to be.
Right. But in my mind, I was like, I want to skip the whole bank thing. Like, I'm so, I just don't even want to go.
Yeah, you might not even get approved.
Exactly. And I want this property. So 25% down of like 255 is basically 63,000. Call it 60 just for round numbers. I've got this 100 grand kicking around, right? I feel like a baller. So I'm like, yeah, I'll stroke you a check for 60. No problem.
Still got 40 left over.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well, let me just backtrack on that real quick, because remember they were charging me a fee, right? Whatever money they got me, they took 10% of.
Oh, this company.
Yeah. So like they got me this $100,000 loan.
Yeah. It's always, there's always a catch.
Always something. So I just stroked them a check for 10 grand.
So now, so now you're 90. Working with 90. Okay. I gotcha.
So I need to get into this property with 60, right? Yep. Is more or less the down
plus
payment.
Plus closing costs.
Right. It was okay. Like, it was in decent shape. I definitely over-improved it. And like, I didn't really have a ton of money. And so like, 100 minus $10,000 fee, we're at 90. $60,000 down payment, 10 in closing. You know, that's, so we're into the property at 70.
Easily, yeah.
Yeah, so I've got like 20 grand kicking around, more or less, after all is said and done. And I blew that so fast, you have no idea. I got siding, roof, painted the interior. So I was well above and beyond that number, okay. Right? But I had been saving money, right? Because I have no mortgage. I've got my duplex in New Britain that I'm living out of. Like, I'm doing okay. Mm-hmm. But this at the time made sense to me. This is where it gets really good.
Okay.
Remember, I'm doing rent by the room, right? Right. I'm doing rent by the room at the place.
That's your
that
business
I'm,
model.
Correct. Right. Yep. This place has 10 bedrooms.
Between two? Five bedrooms a unit?
It was three floors.
Holy shit, that
the
is a
big first floor
house.
Was a normal looking floor. It had three bedrooms.
Okay.
The second floor had three bedrooms. The attic, the third floor, was built out into four bedrooms and a bathroom.
Jesus.
I've got 10 beds. I'm renting out to college kids at least $500 a month. So $5,000.
Well,
gross.
That business model makes a lot of sense.
Right. So that's why I was like, okay, if I'm making at least $5,000 a month, like, I know I can support it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
So, I mean, that's pretty. So how did you pay back that loan?
So
you don't still have that property today, right?
I did sell it.
You did sell. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. The loan and the seller finance. So the seller finance was about $1,900 a month. The loan was about $1,600. So that's, we're all in like $3,500.
Mm-hmm.
I'm making $5,000 at least. I was probably charging a little more than $500 each. So like, it's making sense so far. I did a refinance.
You did a cash out refinance or just like a rate and term?
I did a cash out refinance.
Okay.
It appraised at 270. 75% of 270 is 202. Call it 200.
Mm-hmm.
My balance to the person who was holding the note was 190.
Whew.
After closing costs, that's gone.
Yep.
But I still have this $100,000 note. Like, it's still there. Like, I have not paid it off.
Right.
Because I still owed them 190. So like 200 minus, say, 10 in closing minus 190 to the seller finance holder, it's gone. That loan's gone.
Jeez.
The cash out, quote unquote, funds are gone. So I'm like, oh, okay. So I'm just going to sort of pay this off over time, I guess, right? I refinance into like a 5% some odd rate. My new payment is like $2,000 a month. I'm doing okay. Like, I can more than afford this like $1,600 payment, but like, it's just still there, still there, still there. So, long story short, when I finally sold the property for $310,000.
Okay, so you did all right. On
yeah.
It. Yeah.
Years later, I was able to pay it off and write off.
But you were paying that loan off. I mean, you were paying that loan for a while.
I was paying the loan for a
you
while.
You needed to rent by the room to afford that.
Oh, yeah.
Because a normal two family in New Britain, Connecticut, Hartford County, let's say, if it's three bedrooms a unit, would probably rent for like $1,500. So that's $3,000.
I was making way more.
Yeah. But it's way more management intensive, and you were personally managing it, correct?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was living down the street, so like
yeah.
I was going there and mowing the lawn. Do you know what it looks like to have 10 bedrooms rented by college kids? Like,
I can only
do you know what
imagine.
Like the trash
I mean, I lived in one, but I can never imagine owning one.
The flies that would accumulate on trash that was just sitting in the kitchen because they were too lazy to go downstairs and take it out was unreal.
It's all risk reward. You're being compensated through cash flow.
Correct.
For the amount of risk and management intensive you're consuming in this property.
100%.
Right. I mean, think about a triple net lease where the return, so the cap rate you'd say is, you know, depending on where it is like 5-7%. I mean, your return's way more than that. So, but in a triple net lease building, you don't, I mean,
not a ton of work.
They do everything. The tenant does everything. They pay for everything. Right. So, yeah, it's interesting. I mean, so I think bottom line is like, there's so many different types of ways to go to your second or to get to your second property. I put down 25%. So I was living in my duplex that I bought with an FHA loan. I was house hacking. So I was saving a lot of money because my out of pocket was only a couple $100 living there. And so I was able to save my salary income, and I was able to afford a 25% down payment because you can only live in one house at a time, you know, and get a low down loan. So if you're buying a property with a non-owner occupied property, you pretty much have to put 20 to 25% down.
Correct.
Right. So that was where I was at. I was living in that property and I was like, I want to scale. So I was able to save because again, I was not paying that much to live. And so I put 25% down. I still remember to this day, I have my numbers here. I bought a 2-family in Manchester, Connecticut. I paid $140,000. Okay. I put 25% down. So it's 35,000. So my loan was 105,000. The property was bringing in about $2,000 a month. And at the time I actually didn't have $35,000. I just remember this the other day. I actually borrowed $10,000 in a private loan through my colleagues. We're the same age. He gave me $10,000. He's like, hey, listen, like I've been to your duplex in New Britain where you're living. Like I see what's going on. Like it makes sense. And you know, we're doing okay at this like W-2 job. So like we're in the finance industry. And he's like, I'll give you $10,000. Give me 10% interest. So $1,000. So basically I'm borrowing $10,000 and all I have to do is pay $1,000 to quote unquote get this money.
That's crazy.
I'm like, shit, yeah, I'll do that. So again, I put $35,000 down. I only used $25,000 of my own capital, which I did have at the time, plus closing costs. So, I mean, there was no points associated with that like private loan. And so I bought it for 140. I rented it out for about $2,000 a month. My all-in, so principal, interest, taxes, and insurance, and that second balloon note I had to pay my guy. I paid him principal every month. So I paid him $416 a month. So my principal, interest, tax, and insurance on the mortgage, the first position mortgage, was about $950 plus the $416 I had to pay him. So I'm $1,366 a month, and it's bringing in $2,000 a month. So I'm cash flowing $634. It's pretty good for my second property. 9 months later, I sold it for $164,000 and made $24,000 in 9 months. Paid back my guy. I mean, it was a no-brainer. And that was an on-market property. On the MLS, on market, the realtor at the time went out, we saw it, made the offer for $140. I think it was listed at like $150. Made the offer for $140. It was below, a little bit below market rent at the time, but I got it up to $2,000. And yeah, that's how I got that second property. So I put 25% down. And then at that point, so I sold it. If I had known what I know now back then, I wish I had done a 1031 exchange because I could have deferred all the capital gains I would have now paid on the profit of that sale of that second property. So I sold it 9 months later, did not do a 1031 exchange. And I bought a 2-family in Middletown, Connecticut, and was a foreclosure property. At this point, things were starting to get a little bit more expensive. I was honestly running out of money, which I'm sure a lot of people can relate to. It's like, okay, I bought the first one, I got the second one. Now it's like, how do I afford another one? So there's a couple different ways you can do it. You had seller finance, so as long as you have the down payment, like you didn't have any banks to worry about. You could borrow private money. For me, it was what's talked about a lot is the BRRRR method. So it's like where you're buying a property, you're renovating it, you're renting it out, and you're refinancing it. And the idea is that you can pull out your initial down payment. So in this exact example, my third property I bought in Middletown, Connecticut, it was a foreclosure, two family. I paid $118,500 for it, so $118,500. My down payment, because this was a major renovation, but it was a big rehab project, it was a foreclosure, I needed a lot of rehab funds. And so I didn't have the money for the rehab funds. And so, as you know, you can get out what's called like a hard money loan, which is where they'll finance pretty much 90 to 100% of that rehab portion.
Right.
Right. So you're gonna pay for it. So I bought it for $118,500. My renovation was $30,000. That's what I needed to bring it to like current standards, we'll say. So I bought it for $118,500. My down payment was only $11,850 because with a hard money loan, some require 20% down. This particular one was going to give me a 90% loan to value. So I only had to put 10% down, and they were also going to fund 100% of the rehab.
That's amazing.
So my down payment was $11,850. I just paid $24,000 on the last property. I'll have to pay capital gains on that $24,000 in my taxes that following year, but I still have money left over. So I reinvested it, bought this value add deal, BRRRR, you might say, so I can do that buy, renovate, rehab. So I put $11,850 down. My loan amount was $106,650 to be exact. My rehab was $30,000. So technically, I'm all in for $136,650. That's my all in if I paid cash for everything. I did the renovation of $30,000, and then I went out to a bank and I said, I want a new loan on this property. I have this really high interest. I paid 2 points and 10% for that loan, that hard money loan, which you don't want to stay in, maybe you with the other loan, you've stayed in the 10%, but I don't want to stay in a 10% loan. So I went to a new bank and I said, I have this great property. It's fully renovated. I fully rented it out. It's bringing in really good rents. I want to refinance it. And they're okay, we're going to send out an appraiser. The appraiser went out and he says, based on everything you've done, based on sales comparison approach, other sold properties, the income you're bringing in, we think it's worth $205,000. I said, okay. Great. I bought it for $118,000. I put $30,000 into it. Fantastic. So that bank was willing to give me a 75% loan to value. So they had 25% equity in that deal,
right,
which is pretty standard. And so it appraised at $205,000. 75% of that is $153,750 is my new loan. I just told you I was all in for $136,000. So I take that $153,000, that new loan, I pay off that high interest loan.
Right.
And now I have a nice clean 30-year mortgage with this new bank for $153,000. And oh, by the way, I rented both units out for $1,500
each. $1,500
each? $1,500 each. Wow. I still have that property today.
How many bedrooms?
3 bedrooms per unit.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
So it's bringing in $3,000 a month. And my loan, which I've owned it for a couple of years now, was for $153,000. So that's almost the 2% rule, you'd say.
That's which amazing. Is like, that's really good numbers.
Yeah.
That's solid.
So that was a win. So that's a great example of how you can scale. So the important part of that, not to get sidetracked, is that the reason why the value add deals are so important, especially when you're just starting out, is because I can recoup my money. So when I got that new loan of $153,000, I paid off that old loan of $136,000. The difference there is about a little less than $20,000 after closing costs. I got all that money back out. All that initial $11,850 I put down, I got back. And oh, by the way, I have a fully rented, beautiful, performing two-family with none of my own capital in it.
You paid nothing
for it. I paid $11,850 and I got it back.
Wow. That's like infinite
returns.
I'm not
a huge math guy, but like that's got to be a pretty good return.
Right. Absolutely.
So it's just like, that's just another way, like when you're just starting off, like in your first, second and third, like buy that value add deal, put in that sweat equity. Like it was stressful. Right? I'm paying a 10% interest loan. I don't have the money to pay this off. What if it doesn't appraise? Then what? Then what do you do? You know? So
there's some risk.
There is some risk, but I didn't have the $30,000 in rehab money. So it's just another way. So seller finance, finding a value add, you know, deal, all different types of, you know, ways to kind of scale your portfolio without having, you know, bokus of money.
You, like in your example, like are not going to own that deal. Like you're splitting it 50-50.
Yeah, whatever.
Maybe you own 25 and they own 75 because they put up all the money. Like you don't own that home deal, that whole deal.
Right.
So that's just something to consider when you're,
yeah,
when you're partnering.
Yeah. I mean, for us, like I remember when I first started investing, I was like, I'd never need a partner. Like, not that I know it all, and I certainly don't, but like, I never think I needed a partner. And then obviously like you came around and I was like, okay, like I've had a couple deals under my belt.
Right.
This is sweet. I have 100% equity in all these deals. However, I'm out of money. And like, I could keep doing the Burr method and the finding the value add deals, or I could leverage another like-minded individual and we can leverage our assets together and right, then scale that way. So like, you know, our portfolio today, I could never have achieved right, without the help of you.
Right.
Not so, only your money, but like your knowledge as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not just a gold digger.
Yeah. But, no, that's good. I mean, it's really interesting because like my third property, I did the exact same thing you did. I know like future episode, we're going to get into the Burr strategy.
Yeah. I really want to dive deep into the whole Burr method because I think it is so important to real estate investing. And Burr's been kind of like coined by Bigger Pockets, which is great. I mean, they're a great resource, but like the whole like cash out refinance, adding mm-hmm, value through construction or just management. Maybe you acquired a property that like looks great. It's just like mismanaged, but like you're adding value some way, shape or right, form, and you're increasing the value of that property enough where you can then pull out the equity, i.e. your down in part of your down payment.
We talk to so many people, like investors, whether they're like new investors, experienced or not. And like, whenever I get asked, what is like the most important or like biggest piece of advice you can give someone, at least for people that are starting out, it's find a way to recycle your money.
Yeah, you have to.
Because if you continue to buy turkey properties, like in your example, like your money is going to be stuck.
Yep.
It's going to be stuck in this property. It's going to be stuck in the next one if you can afford it. Like if you don't have a way to get it out, like you're not scaling.
Yeah. Bought that first one at market price, had no equity in it, put down 3.5%, literally no equity. Bought the second one, put 25% down. I have 25% equity, but I bought it at market rate.
Right.
The third one is where I bought, you know, I kind of learned that model, value add, sweat equity, management, construction, all that good stuff. And I was able to increase the value through rehabbing it.
Right.
And pull out that initial down payment. Now I can go to that fourth property and do it all over again. And maybe just at a larger scale. Because right, if you do it on a 2 or 3 family, like why can't you do it on a 10, 12, 20 unit portfolio or a building?
Absolutely.
It's the same process.
It's the same process.
Just bigger numbers.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think that's where maybe a partner makes sense. Is like, okay, you know, I pulled out my money on this one. I don't want to sell it, but I have some capital to reinvest, but I don't have all of it. So like, where's that missing piece?
Yeah. And you're also leveraging time too, right? Sure. Like I do things that, you know, maybe you don't have time for, like working with a property manager, like calling the utility company to argue a bit, like all these random things that come up, like it's a lot for one person, even with a property manager. So like when you do partner with someone, you're leveraging their time too. I think the most important thing, at least for me, is just like, if you have found yourself a good deal, like do whatever it takes to make it happen.
Yeah. Get $100,000.
I got a $100,000 loan for at 10%. And that's like, wild. I paid this company 10% to do it. I wrote them a check for it. Like, that is crazy. But like at the end of the day, it cash flowed well, right? Like it was a great property in a great location. And years later, I sold it, paid off that loan, made a couple bucks. Like it all like worked out. And you know, I was just starting out then, but like, at least I was confident that like numbers make sense. Property's in a good location. I know the area and I know the location. I know the business model, which was rent by the room. Like, yes, I'm going to take out this $100,000 loan. Yes, it's 10%. Yes, I'm paying these people 10%. But at the end of the day, it makes sense. Like you can't beat yourself up over like some of the costs, because at the end of the day, if you're going to be benefiting, it's
just the cost of doing business.
It's the cost of doing business.
Yeah. So for now, that was awesome. We'll be here next week. And just remember, sky's the limit. Dive deep and invest in how you want to live.
See you next time.
See ya. Thank you for tuning in to Sky's the Limit podcast. This podcast is available on all your favorite podcast platforms, including in video on YouTube.
If you like what you heard, be sure to like, subscribe, follow, and review. We'll see you next week.